The content of this Dig Into It radio broadcast may be offensive to some listeners. Please listen with caution. Oh, and don't run with scissors.
Yeah! Rockin'!
You're listening to Leanne Tooker is Not Crazy on Dig Into It Radio On Demand.
Leanne Tooker is not crazy. Leanne Tooker is not crazy.
Hey guys, this is Leanne, and you're listening to Leanne Tooker is Not Crazy on Dig Into It Radio Live. Thanks for tuning in today. This is my 49th episode, one more, and then we're at 50. And I want to hear from you guys. If there is something you'd like to hear us talk about or a particular guest you'd like on the show for the 50th, let us know because I need ideas and we should plan something. You can tweet your ideas or direct message them to me. So follow us on Twitter at Dig Into It Radio. That's at D-I-G, the letter N, the number 2, I-T Radio. And you can also follow me at Leanne Tooker. You can like us on Facebook. And, of course, you can also listen to Dig Into It Radio anytime and anywhere on your mobile device with the app Stitcher. So today I've got two very funny people on the show, comedians Cyrus Naderpour and Vicki Wagner. Welcome to the show, guys.
What's up?
What's up? I didn't know if it was Naderpour or Naderpour, right?
You got it.
Last minute. All right.
Nailed it.
Naderpour. Cyrus, your Twitter is at Cyrus the Clown, for you guys who want to jump on this young guy's Twitter. He performs all over town, Comedy Store, Hollywood Improv, The Ice House, The Punchline. Do you, and you co-produce the show?
Yeah, I do every last Saturday month with Aiden Park. I produce a show in the Clown Museum with Adam Barhart.
Which I've done. That was super, super fun.
That's awesome. There's like 600 clowns in that room. It's a really, really fun room.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That's probably my first and maybe only clown house that I'm going to be performing comedy in.
Are there really clowns there?
No, like clown, like pictures and stuff.
Clown, it's statues, clown, more like, I mean, I don't know what the purpose of the clown house is, so I don't want to offend anybody, but it's sort of like, if it were dark, it'd be kind of scary.
Darn, he wants me on that show. Good to know, because my girlfriend's scared of clowns, and I might not.
You get booked on the show, you bring her, and she fucking has PTSD something, and flies
out. Yeah. There's 600 clowns there. Come on now.
It's one of those things where one or two clowns, it's scary, but once you hit past 20, you just kind of
then
break
it just
through.
Sort of, yeah.
It just starts feeling natural for some reason.
No, it was a cute place. I thought it was interesting.
Until the clowns start exposing themselves, and then things get kind of weird.
Yeah, if they start moving or something.
Do you know what the funny thing about clowns were? You know what they were? Originally, it was just a drunk guy. They have a red nose because a drunk guy just wandered into the circus and started making people laugh.
That's how clowns got started?
That's how clowns got started. It was just a drunk.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it was just a drunk.
And that would be why the rosy cheeks and the red nose.
But it's kind of gotten a little away from that, don't you think?
Yeah,
it used to be like that because I'm from Chicago where Bozo the Clown, remember Bozo Circus?
Yeah.
Like I got on Bozo Circus when I was a kid. And it was like, oh, it's crazy hair and this big red nose. And now clowns are kind of like, oh my God, I think of the clown house. I think of some scary movie where someone's going to get killed. And
Yeah, they did do that to the clown face. Yeah. Well, Poltergeist probably started that shit, right?
Remember
that
the fun? You guys see the fun house? You might be a little bit too young, but I remember my dad took us to see the fun house. I was like 13 or 12 and I was like, oh my God. And that's what it was. It was a clown that was killing people.
Yeah, yeah. Once they did that.
There's Pennywise and It. That was a big one, too. Stephen King. I didn't see it either, but it's just a terrifying clown. It just kills children's souls.
So. That Poltergeist clown will still freak me out. But I took a picture with Ronald McDonald when I was at the clown house.
Yeah, the bench with Ronald. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's sitting down on the bench. I just had to snuggle up to him.
Oh, that could be kind of pervy, too.
In memory of carbs that I used to eat at McDonald's.
Dude, when that place gets full, it's rocking.
I'm telling you, I had such a great time.
It's not about the clowns. It just brings out, makes things funnier. You feel like you can just say whatever you want to say out there, and it's okay. Because you're just...
Isn't
it ridiculous? It doesn't feel real. It's
how judged can you really feel? Do you know what I mean? If we're in a room... I mean, we've already gone past... there's no way they're going to have a problem with how pathetic I am. You know, everyone's hanging out in a room full of clowns, you know? Yeah. I can't be the only loser here, is what I'm saying. So you co-produced that. Oh, yeah. Now, I wanted to hear about this small role in a web series. I didn't know that you were in a web series. And this is that you got your SAG eligible now, man.
I just fell into that.
That's big stuff, guys, for those of you
not in
the industry.
I read that on your Facebook page, that you did some crappy little web series and now you got your SAG card.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's Aiden Park, he's running a web series. It's actually really, it's funny. I've seen some episodes, but I had this little part. It was when I was with Paris. We had an episode where, Aiden, he was like, it's like basically Aiden wants to be famous at all costs. So he decides to do amateur fetish.
So it's typecasting. He's playing himself.
Yeah, pretty much. That's basically like a Lucy on his life. So he does this amateur fetish baby wrestling video, and I was the creepy photographer. So oh, yeah.
Oh my god. And when can we see that? Because I could see you being a good creepy photographer.
Yeah, it's the hair. The hair can go either creepy or like,
I was gonna say, yeah, you could fit right in there.
Yeah, it's true. Creepy or dashing. You can go one of two ways.
It's funny that he's doing that because I know some guy is trying to get everybody to, it's not him, but it's this other theater group that's like, oh, come to our web series and you can get your SAG card and blah, blah, blah. But then they want you to pay to join their theater group.
Yeah.
And I went, it was like 2 years ago, I went, I'm like, seriously, this is just a scam. And then no one's gonna take you seriously anyway. Oh, I was in one little web series of, the, I mean, not that, but I mean, like, I saw somebody else posted on your wall, yeah, and then welcome to when you have to pay $3,000 to get your SAG card.
No, but that's why you remain eligible.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm doing. I'm riding that line so I can non-union it, you know.
I'm a must-join.
Yeah, well, that's what I know. That's what
I can't even be in any after productions anymore until I do it.
That's how mine is. My next thing that I get that's real, then I'll have to pay. But until then, I'm happy to be not real.
Yeah. Not real. You're not real right now, Cyrus.
That's okay.
I thought I was going to be not real for Rent-A-Center, and I was pretty fucking excited about those not real dollars. And I didn't get it, but I was already spending the money. The audition went really well for a change. And I came home like, I could probably pay off a credit card. You know what I mean? then nobody called me, my friends. Nobody called me. And Cyrus, I guess this goes with the hair, really. Yeah. But you're from Rome.
Yeah,
this is like real stuff. Like, you're like a man of the world and shit.
Yeah, I was born there. I came to the U.S. when I was two. My parents aren't Italian, though. My dad's Persian. My mom's Polish. They were living there.
I was going to say, you don't look Italian.
Yeah, no. I could pass for Italian.
I think you could pass.
No.
Eyebrows.
Yeah.
Think
eyebrows.
So?
Like, yeah, I can see it. Mediterranean. I get Mediterranean a lot. They were living there. Yeah. they were living there. My dad, like, they were political refugees, so they were living in like Italy, like in the 80s, was taking in like anybody.
Wow.
So they met there. They had me. Came here when I was two, and then.
So are you considered Roman?
No, I looked into that. You have to be an Italian citizen. You have to be like of Italian descent. Like,
really?
You have to prove, like, you could have never been to Italy, but you can prove your great grandmother was from Italy, and you can get a citizenship.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. America's one of the few countries where, like,
God, I wish I had some relatives somewhere over there.
Yeah, it's like a lot of countries, like a lot of European countries, is you just have to be of that descent. America's one of the few countries where, like, where you're born counts. Everyone
How
else.
Far back do you have to go? I mean, are you allowed to go?
Back. You can go back far.
I can go back far?
You can go back far.
I've been looking for a way to not be an American citizen.
Dig into it.
And now this sounds
good.
Let's
go up to Canada.
This sounds good.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know, but that's all crazy political stuff, and I'm not getting my crazy political views. I see you earned your bullshit in accounting. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a Bachelor of Science.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I used to be an accountant before all of this.
That's
good. Before the long hair, before the telling the jokes to strangers, I did accounting. So
that means that you'll be able to manage your money until you start making some?
Yeah, in theory. I've forgotten all. You know, I was I never learned how to do my taxes. Like, the one part of accounting you need, tax accounting, I bombed. So, like, the most practical aspect of it, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
So.
But you can do someone's financial statements?
I used to. Those things have gone. I lived in Maryland. Before I moved to LA, I did accounting. I did it for like a year and a half. I fucking hated it. And so I quit that job, and I moved out to here to get into online advertising. And somehow, a little way along the way, I came here to do online advertising.
Right.
And at some point, I started doing comedy. And now I have this joke where it's like, I came to LA, like, I want to be online advertising. I wanted to get, like, you know, work hard, become an executive, maybe start my own company. Like, that's
right?
An adult dream to have.
That's a good adult dream,
yeah. Like,
yeah.
Fast forward 5 years, I'm a Lyft driver, and I'm telling TikTok to strangers. You know?
You're happy.
I'm happy, yeah.
Yeah.
As I'm getting older, my dreams are getting younger. I'm like a Benjamin Buttoning professional.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting, though? I feel like when you're younger, you, or at least for me anyway, I've sort of noticed in hindsight that I was sort of doing things that I thought you were supposed to do as an adult. So, like, as an adult, I felt like your apartment should look like this, and you should have pictures up of your family, and da-da-da. And then one time I had a friend over here, and they were like, yeah, you have all these pictures up of, like, I don't know, people that don't really make you feel good, and that, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, what's that about? And I was like, well, I don't know. It just seems like they're supposed to be up there, right? Like, and they were like, this is your space. Like, shouldn't it be? And I was like, oh, my God, how did I not see what I was doing? And so revamped. There's a few people missing now from the living room photo collage.
Yeah, like when I was younger, I was just the same way. Like, oh, I'm going to go to school, do this, join the Air Force, right? And then I was so much more responsible when I was younger than I actually am right now, to be honest.
Yeah, that's how I was
I'm in my
too.
40s, okay? You know, and my mom's like, what happened, you know? And I'm just like, well, Mom, I got a good start, you know?
But I think when you're like that, when you're young, then when you get older, you realize how sort of pointless a whole bunch of that shit is, like when it comes to like what really matters in life. Yeah. I mean, like,
what about your parents, you guys? Do you guys, like, my mom's like, you and your sister, you think you need a dream. You don't need a dream. You just need to go to work and get a job and pay your bills. I'm like, what's the point? You know, everybody comes to America for the American dream, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why live here if we can't be in the American dream?
My mom doesn't even know I do comedy, so.
For real?
Yeah. We haven't talked.
She better not Google you then.
I cannot believe she hasn't yet. I've got like 8 pages of Leanne Tooker. Like, do you know what I mean? If she even puts it, even if she misspelled my name, she's probably going to see some shit. But you know how old folks are. I guess she just doesn't really know about Google.
Yeah.
She does find out, if she listens to this fucking episode, my goose is good.
She's going to say, Leanne, you took our pictures down? What's wrong with you? We don't make you happy, Leanne. What's wrong with you? Your friends don't... What have you been telling your friends? That we
everybody
don't
has abusive childhood, honey. Get over it.
Yeah, ride that wave for as long as you can. The minute they Google you, it goes downhill south.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
Are you suggesting, Cyrus, that you should be that young boy, like on the cover of Time magazine, milking at his mother's breast as long as you can?
Yeah. Well, not that far. Okay. But,
Ooh, how old was the kid on Time magazine?
He was 4. You guys don't remember that?
No.
It was like 2 years ago. It was this big deal, and how long should you breastfeed? And here's a 4-year-old standing on a stool getting in his mom's boobs.
What do you think about them?
So. Me? I would be so grossed out by that.
Yeah, ditto.
I'm sorry. I don't want to see ladies breastfeeding in public. Cover that shit up. Put a little blanket over that.
I think I've seen them older than 4, even. That's weird.
Is that a thing now?
That you can come up to your mother and unbutton her shirt and take her bra. Do the reach around with your left hand and unhook her bra strap and let the boobs out.
I can't believe my sentence on that was like, that's weird.
It's like a Game of Thrones thing? It's like after that episode, people start doing it longer. You see that?
Already I think we're coddling children too much as it is. But yeah, you need to get off the teat when you're still.
Is that like a caveman did it? So that's what you're supposed to do it now? Is that one of those things?
I think that's mom is lonely and she's making do with what she's got.
Does it last that long?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think as long as it's being sucked, her body will continue to produce.
I think you're right. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's something like that. So if she had stopped, then it wouldn't she'd be able to just tap into it whenever she wants.
You got to cut the man off at that point, too, because the boobs think it's the baby
still.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Such fascinating things. Childbirth.
Well, I don't know how fascinating. My brother's actually having a baby very soon.
Well, that's a new thing, a man having a baby?
Mm-hmm.
No. Because there is that lady who's a man.
I'm planning to profit off of it. No, he and his wife. And I'm going to be an aunt. What the fuck?
All right.
Congratulations.
Scary. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to fuck that kid up. But he has faith in me, so I'll go with that. Sorry, my voice is a little hoarse today. I had a serious game night last night. It involved me screaming a lot and pretending to jump over hurdles. That was really fun. And it's got on video, so yay. That's the shit that'll come out when I make it.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
One more thing for your mom to YouTube. Once she figures out how Google works.
Like, I don't know, I've thought about it. Like, if I did blow up, you know, like, if she just, you know, she turns on TV and there I am on HBO or whatever, like, I think it'll be a little bit like the Demi Moore mom situation. Do you know what I mean? Like, she'd be putting out a book talking about what a shitty kid I am. You know what I mean? Like, some shit's going to go down. Just hear me out now for whenever I do make it. All right, Vicky, let's talk about some of your stuff. Vicky's got a lot of stuff going on. Let me give you a little background. She's been on ABC, TLC, Bravo, QTV, winner of the 2013 Battle of the Comics, beating out 100 comedians. Was that here in...
I was in L.A., yep.
L.A., nice.
And I won some cash for that, too.
Nice. That's a big deal in comedy world out here, guys.
And it wasn't one of those contests you had to pay to join, either, thank God.
Yeah, there's so many shenanigans out here, because they know we're all in one big pot trying to make it. You've headlined all over Princess Cruise, Lake Tahoe Gay Ski Week. I wanted to hear about that.
Oh, yeah, that was, and I came up with some great jokes for that, too. Like, back in the day when I was doing comedy, because I took a 7-year break for doing comedy, so back in the day when I was doing comedy, I got have to headline all these big gay events, because I'm a lesbian, in case you didn't know, it's Everest. And you do now. You know.
Surprise! She's gay!
I like girls, too. I get it.
Yeah, that's true. He probably understands you better than he understands me.
And I just got tapped to, I got an opportunity to headline a bunch of big, prestigious gay events. And so this particular event, I got through a connection. This is when it says, hey, you know, if you know people, it works. Well, a friend of mine's cousin was heading up the whole entire thing. So I went into Reno, and then I got to perform in Reno, and I got to perform at the Horizon Casino in Lake Tahoe. So they had, you know, a bunch of gay people come for Gay and Lesbian Ski Week there. And it's this big, huge, you know, thousands of people converge on it. And then they have all the parties and everything. And then the big comedy show was at the Horizon Casino. So when I went there, I have material for days that I can talk about, you know, like about gay guy. It was mostly gay guys, right? So like stuff like, you know, if you're, you know, I used to have this thing called That's Too Gay, you know, because I live in West Hollywood, and I've lived there for 14 years. So I see somebody that's like, okay, we already live in West Hollywood. Like, isn't that a little too gay? You know, like, if you see this happening, is this a little too gay? And it was just like, I started doing this series of these That's Too Gay thing, and I have like over 150 of them that I wrote, but when I went there, I was like, oh my God, you know?
Like, if you know, like, I've got a
fucking
novel.
That's one weekend in West Hollywood. That's just one brunch.
That's it. That's right. That's for my observations of one weekend. And it's like, for lesbians, too. Too, you know, it's like, okay, for lesbians, okay, like if you see a lesbian walking down the street with a trucker hat and a mullet and a t-shirt that says, I break for pussy, that's too gay. We get it. You know?
Or we didn't need the shirt. We knew that you broke for pussy.
It's like,
the mullet was enough.
That was enough with the trucker hat.
Yeah, we could have stopped at the mullet.
You know, because back in the day, women, feminine straight women, the trucker hat did not catch on with straight women. The gay women had that down way before that ever became in vogue for straight women.
Oh, like, is it in vogue?
Yeah, to wear a trucker hat.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you see
that's
a lot
cool.
of tons of feminine straight women all over. It was
so
really big.
The Ashton Kutcher era.
Yes.
Like a punked.
Yep, TV. That's exactly right. Yeah. And then everybody's like wearing their trucker hat. I'm like, lesbians had that covered like 10 years ago, people. You know what I mean? Like, they
hair
were really wearing
the
trucker hat
because
they were truckers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
They were.
You know? And it's like for gay guys, too. Like, we used to have a gay church in West Hollywood. It's not there anymore, but the church was just like a big gay church. And I'd be like, you know, if you're at the church on Sunday calling your pastor daddy instead of father,
okay, that's too gay.
That's too gay. You know what I mean? And like, I don't remember, but the ones at Gay Lesbian Ski Week, I'd be like, you know, if you see two guys out there building a snowman with snowballs, you know, stuff like that, that's too gay, you know? So I just
and they're not using the carrot for the nose.
Exactly. Like if you're going down the slopes on a flesh-colored snowboard shaped like a penis, that's too gay.
Only now that just means you're at a Miley Cyrus concert.
Yeah. Like I forgot all these jokes, but you're bringing them back to me, and I'm like, oh, that's right. But yeah, so that's what that was about, and that was a really good time. They put me up in a nice hotel, and I had a fun time.
Did you ski? Are you skiing?
I did not ski. I would have liked to have skied. I mean, I do ski, but I haven't been skiing in a long time. I was just so busy because I had a lot of events I had to go to, and since I was performing in Reno and Tahoe, and then they take you out and get you really drunk, I don't think skiing would have been a good idea.
I don't know if people do that. People, like, go out, they just get hammered, and they go down the slopes. I'm like, you're going to break your neck.
What? Exactly.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't even stand up. I would probably fall off of the chairlift on the way up, like, throwing up, and then, you know, I would probably, like, go forward, and there I go over the ski lift.
That would be the scary part for me, the chairlift sit.
Yeah, forget it.
I would kind of freak out.
I could barely get off. I'm always, even at, like, you guys go to the county fair, and they have the sky lift rides. I love it, but then when I'm about to get off, I'm like, I don't know, is it okay? And I'm like, jump off and run away.
Well, I do kind of freak out. Like, I'm mostly okay. I'm not, like, hyperventilating the whole time, but there's a part of me that just sort of goes, this is just a little fucking cable. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Who knows how long it's been up there? I see rust. You know what I mean? Like, this could be the day.
And you're like, you don't know who was on it before. You know, if it was like the 200-400-pound couple that was just eating all everything
things.
From the fair, and they weakened the cable. And they're like, how strong was this cable? And
well, and that's like a bad way to go, dude. Falling in a metal cage to the ground.
Die at a county fair next to like the petting shit.
You don't even get to be in a cage. It's just a chair.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm talking about the little cage.
The LA County Fair and Orange County Fair, they don't even have a cage. It's just a chair, and there's like a little bar they put over your head, and you hold it. That's it. That's it.
Scary.
Yeah. So.
That reminds me of all those videos you see of people on the, like, not roller coasters, but those rides or whatever.
And they
like,
go bad? When rides go bad?
Like, yeah, like the one guy who literally fainted in the middle. Like, there's two people, and they've got, like, some kind of...
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And the kid passes out.
They said he died or something.
And then he wakes up. And he freaks out and he passes out again. He can't handle
it. He's so scared and the other person's just laughing. It was a lady, right?
Yeah,
she's
just
laughing. I saw that one and the lady's just laughing like, whatever. She's like, you know.
Or when that one person puts, they're like, something happened and his thing wasn't all the way down. His
the kid. The kid. He's like, I'm falling.
I am not good with that, man. If I noticed my shit was loose, I would lose it. I'm not good on any of those things. The glitter awards, that sounds good and gay.
Yeah, that was very gay. That was the Los Angeles International Gay International Film Festival Awards. So you know how they have like the Golden Globes and the Oscars, and then there's a bunch of gay movies. Like now they have a thing called Outfest. Outfest has been around for a long time, but that's still the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. But that's like this really big prestigious thing, and lots of, you know, mainstream celebrities come. But back in the day, you know, gay people really didn't have, they're like, well, we're going to go see a representation of ourselves. So they created their own movies and stuff.
Right.
And so this was the Gay and Lesbian International Film Festival Award, which is really, it was a really good opportunity, and I was asked to host it, and I had a good time. I met a couple of actors from Queer as Folk at the time, and we just had I had a good time. As a matter of fact, I met a lady there who was a talent manager of one of the television stars who just happened to come in. It's like an event that people want to, it's like how Aiden did his, let me have my web series so I could get my SAG card. They just did it so they could invite celebrities. Basically, in my opinion, after the event was over, that's what I surmised of it. I'm like, oh, this is a good way to invite celebrities. Let's have this thing, and we're honoring you today, and your award.
Is it the kind of thing, did you have to dress up? Like, did you
I was in a suit. I was in a total suit. And my girlfriend at the time, my mom has beautiful, like, gowns and everything. I didn't want to wear a gown. And my girlfriend at the time, my mom let her wear one of her gowns. Everybody was dressed to the nines. And
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I've never done stand-up where I had to be, like, super decked.
I wore a suit. I did, and a nice suit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not really a dress person.
No, I'm not a dress person either. When I have had to, like, dress up.
As a matter of fact, I was just...
I show the cleavage and the hair, but yeah. I've always been like, I need pants. I need to feel like I can kick, run, squat. Like,
I know, I'm like, I've never worn a dress in like almost 20 years, to be honest. And like, I just did this charity event, and the lady calls up, and she's like, well, we're going to expect all the comedians to be in dresses. I'm like, dresses? I'm not wearing a dress.
That flexes my
And then she's
smack.
Like, well, what about for the red carpet and everything? And I was like, well, on the red carpet, just shoot me from here up. You don't have to, you know,
furthermore,
it's like,
have you seen Jennifer Aniston? She wears suits on the red carpet all day long.
It's like acceptable, right?
That's what I even said. I go, what about Ellen? Do you think they told Ellen when she hosted the Emmys to wear a dress? She wore a nice Armani suit both times.
Can you see Ellen wearing a dress?
No. Except for remember when she wore Bjork's dress? Remember that big ostrich?
The swan.
She wore the big swan.
I didn't see that.
Oh my God, you should Google it. She totally, Bjork went to some award show
in a
Bjork
swan. I remember Bjork doing the swan thing.
So
I didn't know Ellen.
Ellen came and did the Emmys. They put her in it. She walked out in it. So yeah, that was a fun time too. And I actually just went to a birthday party of that talent manager on last Sunday. So I made friends back then and we've connected.
And continued. Yep, that's how it is. You just got to keep plugging away. Oh, I know something you mentioned before we came on air that I think it was very interesting. You were a dealer at a casino.
Yeah, I was a dealer in a casino for 4 years.
I feel like I could picture you doing that. Like, you're not going to take any shit from anyone. Like, I could see you, like, you know.
I didn't. I could have gotten fired so many times, to be honest, because I would just tell people off sometimes. I mean, I dealt blackjack, roulette. I dealt blackjack, roulette, Caribbean stud poker. Those are my three main games. And then I did a little bit of mini bark. But basically, I was a high limits blackjack dealer, which means that I never saw, because like, it's $25 minimum to play at the table, so $25, $50, $100 minimum, right? That's it. That's all I ever dealt. I didn't dealt, you know, there's like over 100 dealers at a casino, you know, the casino I worked at. And it starts off with the high limit dealers and it goes on down all the way to the $5 table. And so at the very end, you know, the high limit tables are there and you would see people coming, like we were just talking before the show about playing nickel, dime, quarter poker, which is really fun. And about how people are like, oh, I lost my $20. And I'm like, if you lost your $20, then maybe you shouldn't be gambling. It's just like, you know, I would sit down, literally people would be playing. Our limit was $3,500 a hand at the casino I worked at. So they could play
$3,500 a hand on blackjack?
Yeah, but three hands. The limit was they could only play three hands of it. So $3,500, they could take three spots and play $3,500 per spot. You know what I mean?
But they could continue to play those three hands.
Yeah, they could play three hands at $3,500 each hand, and that was it. So they could have, what is that, like 370, what, 70, how much does that add up to be? Whatever it
so
adds
let me
up
ask
three.
You this. You got dudes over the table. They're playing $3,500 hand. I mean, come on. That's crazy money. Do you get a whole bunch of bimbos that then are floating over to the table because they know these dudes are playing $3,500?
No, not really.
Well, you're at that level. You're just hardcore gambling.
And I shouldn't say bimbos. About, maybe they're very smart.
Basically,
women who,
you'll have, you can see anybody. First of all.
It's like a private room stuff, right?
No, it's not.
But
I mean,
because
some
now,
casinos
I don't even
will
really
make
think
that
about
a private
it, but now
room,
that I know that, I'm
really.
Thinking that's where I need to, maybe be that's trying to find my dating pool. Yeah, you know what I mean? Sure. That's where I need to hang out.
What will happen a lot of times is people will stand behind the people and watch, but the security won't let anybody crowd anybody out. Yeah. You got to stand at least a foot behind them because people are so like, oh my God, I can't believe
but
they're betting that much.
But I can stand, across the way.
You can
stand
and watch, but I mean,
there's
some people like, I was on one time, I was what's called a relief dealer. And a relief dealer is the person who taps out the dealer to get them on their break, which means I'm only at the table for 20 minutes at a time. And then I tap the next dealer out 20 minutes, the next dealer 20 minutes. Then
that's actually kind of nice.
Then I get my break. Oh, that was the best.
Yeah.
Because I only have to deal for you for 20 minutes. Deal with your
even
bullshit.
Even if you're a fucking asshole. Exactly. I'm
and
out of here in 20
me,
minutes.
Trust me, when people are losing money, they're assholes. And this asshole came on the table. And
well, when
like,
they have money,
if you lose
asshole.
$10,000, I'd be pretty pissed.
Okay, but if you're the kind of guy who can spend $3,500 a hand, you're probably an asshole anyway. You know what
most
I mean?
Most are. Some are not.
Even if you're winning.
Some are not. We've had, I had some guy, I had a guy, well, let me tell you the story super fast. I was a Friday, Saturday night, because we worked the same exact shifts every single week, right? So mine was Tuesday. I worked Monday, Tuesday, had Wednesday and Thursday off, and then Friday and Saturday I worked. So Friday night I come, I'm the relief dealer. This guy comes in, he won I don't know, $20,000 from me in 20 minutes. He never even said thank you, nothing.
And they're supposed to tip you really
well. You're supposed to get tips because that's what dealers make their money on. I mean, we were making $4.75 an hour, that's our pay rate, plus everything we make is tips. Now we're making $35-40 an hour in tips if we get tipped.
Right.
And so, but that's because we have to split with everybody. As a high limits dealer, I used to make between $10,000 and $15,000 a night. Every night. But I have to split with the other 100 dealers on that shift. And
equally?
The other, we have to, yes, because the law, I'm from Chicago, and I worked in a riverboat casino. And we had it was a barge, basically. Our boat was bigger than a football field. And so we had to have 100 dealers at night, 100 dealers during the day. So 200 dealers, we have to split with a 24-hour split. So that means if somebody came in, won $1 million and tipped somebody $20,000, they'd have to share that with everybody. So that's how we get our pay rate, right? Unless you go in the state of Illinois, they make you split, right?
Wow.
Some other casinos in Vegas go table for table, and there are dealers who make between $200,000 and $300,000 a year.
Wow.
So anyway, this guy comes in, and the next night he comes in, he was such a jerk, and we used to work 12-hour shifts on Friday and Saturday, and you're tired, and everybody's smoking at their cigars and blowing
Yeah.
So he comes in, there's two other guys sitting at the table, right, playing. It was a $25 table, and he looks at me like, I remember you from last night. I was lucky, and I'm like, you dirt. Dick, and he was Italian, that's I'm not looking at you, but since you're just talking about Italy.
Yeah, he's from your people. Yeah.
He sits down, this guy sits down, and I took from him everything he had in his pockets, which was about $20,000, and then he had to cash out another $40,000 he had in his pockets with the bankroll, $20,000, and I take the bankroll, slip off, and be like, cash $20,000. So I took $68,000 from him in 20 minutes. He's like, you effing bitch, blah, blah, blah. And I just kind of give him a smirk And the guys are looking at me, and the guys that were playing with him were shaking when they were putting their money up, and they're playing their $25, and he's playing I told you, the three hands at $3,500 a hand.
Right.
And then he leaves, and I was like, I had to have an emergency, they had to come and take the money because I had stacks of $1,000 chips just sitting around my rack. And the security had to come and take the money
that
off the
table. Funny. Just sitting around my rack. I just had all this money right here by my rack.
This guy's like, oh my God. Some guy added it up. He goes, that guy just lost more in 20 minutes than I make all year. And I said, I kind of was being cocky at first. I said, oh, well. I go, that's what happens sometimes. He's like, well, you don't care? I'm like, not really. And then he's like, you don't? I said, no. I'm like, that asshole came here last night and won $25,000 for me. He goes, he didn't even say thank you to me.
Yeah.
He didn't smile. He didn't tip me $5.
Yeah.
Bucks. He could have given me $5. He didn't do anything. I said, so why should I care if you just lost? And then they immediately put tips up for me. Thanks, gentlemen. Thank you. Because they think it's the dealer. It has nothing to do with the dealer. It's how you play the cards, and more importantly,
for sure. But
it's
they get all superstitious about all that.
That is really
more importantly, how other people at the table play their cards.
Yeah.
So you think, this fucking dealer sucks or whatever. No, it's not. Because if the idiot next to you, the dealer's showing a six and some asshole next to you hits his 16 against the six, takes the dealer's bus card and everybody loses because then the dealer pulls out a five and makes a 21. It was his fault for ruining your hand, not mine.
It's the worst. Dude, I went to
I don't ever play blackjack when I go.
I used to only play poker, but then, I started working. When I was in college, I played a ton of poker. But after that, you start working, Poker's a grind. It really is. Yeah. You have to really. It's like work. It's not fun. It's like it's working. I started playing blackjack once I had got a real job. It's just fun. You're with your friends. You're drinking. You know.
I've had a couple guys who had strategies like that. They would come during the day, right? First of all, the people in the casino who usually gamble the most money come during the day.
Yeah.
They don't come at night because they're professional gamblers. Yeah. Just like you said.
They're at work. They're coming. They probably don't really deal with all the bullshit.
They come, and I had a guy who used to come every day with $100,000 a day, every day. Now, this guy was like in a crappy white t-shirt or a wife beater with stains on it. He'd wear sweatpants. His yeah. hair wasn't combed. So look at him walking down the street. You're like, this guy's almost, you know, homeless. And here he has a little fanny pack. He used to wear a fanny pack. It's got $100,000 in it in cash.
Wow.
Every day. And then you'd have guys that would come in, like, all dressed up in their suit and everything, and they've got their $100. And you're right. Like, okay. Okay.
Settle down.
Dude, yeah.
The worst, I did the Laughlin Comedy Festival, and I gambled there when I was there. Oh my! It was like so depressing.
Just recently,
yeah.
It was depressing. Why?
Because it's like these people who it's not like Vegas. People are gambling, but they're there for fun.
Why?
Yeah, there's like nightlife.
They got a bachelor party.
Yeah, they're gambling. It's fun. There's like I'm gambling because I have to gamble right now. Like, right. I need to gamble right now. And the worst part, I was sitting there playing, and most of these guys, they don't have no idea what the fuck they're doing. They're like,
really?
They're like, it's like they're hitting like a 16 against a 6 up. That's like, well, there's an 8. It's like the dealer's showing an 8. They have 14.
But what was the card table limit you're at? Just curious.
It was low. It was like $10.
Okay,
or
so here's a tip.
But you can tell those guys are there because they're fucking there
like,
every
I
day.
Money, I need my
fucking fix. It's like I know you're playing a ton of.
But then they think
gambling.
They can beat the system or they're counting cards. They think they know how to count cards.
No, they're definitely weren't. They just know, they're like, oh, well, you know, if you feel like the 4 is gonna hit, you should hit. I'm like, no, you should fucking hit an 8 showing. You fucking hit that.
Yeah, well, here's a good tip, a piece of advice. Don't ever gamble on less than a $25 minimum table. Because if you're going to play, people who gamble...
Okay, but if you don't know what you're doing, like me, I should stay away from
$25? You should not. Okay, people who don't know what they're doing are on the $5 and $10 table.
Okay.
Because they're, like, so worried about losing their money. So the thing is you don't want other people influencing your cards, and the more money you're betting, the less chance some asshole's going to sit down and do what you just said.
Because I might be the asshole, right, if I go
to... Yeah, but then you're not going to be betting $50 a hand.
Yeah.
No.
Right? You're not willing to lose $50 a hand because you don't know what the hell you're doing.
But if I come
in the money...
you're
willing to lose $5 a hand.
And I want to do a $25
table. I would say
if
you
can't... You're saying I'm fucking it up for everybody?
Yes.
I mean, it's easy to learn. It's just literally you just memorize certain rules and you...
You can buy a little card for $1.
I mean, I know, like, yeah, you know.
You could get a blackjack card for $1, it'll tell you if the dealer has this and you have this, hit stay, stand, double down, whatever.
It's a very unless you're like into the high level card counting stuff, it's a very robotic
game.
But
see, I'm the weirdo though that feels like, no, but I feel it. I feel like so it won't.
Then
I
you're
know
the person
know
who's gonna lose
rules.
Our money, right? Me and Cyrus aren't gambling with you, Leanne.
Okay, now could we, the three of us, act like we don't know to each other? Go to a table, right? Then I fuck it up for you guys, but then we meet outside later and we split everything, right?
Well, that's only if we're winning.
Yeah, if you fuck it up for us, we're probably not winning.
Yeah.
I'm going to win it all. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
And everybody else is. And then you guys can act.
Why would you want to split your winnings with me if you're fucking it up?
Well, the game's rigged. We're rigging it. So
well, yeah.
Wins.
I'm trying to, yeah.
There are some games. Okay, like, did you guys see, I'm sure you may have seen that show. It should have been better. It was Kevin Spacey. I think it was just called 21. And it was the MIT students who actually decided they were going to pull it over on the casinos.
Yeah.
I think
and
I
they went and they were card counters and they had their marks, which are people
but
like
they got
you.
Caught, right?
They did get caught. But, you know, it's just like they can't do anything about it. It's not illegal to count cards.
But the casino can tell you you cannot come back and gamble here.
Because the casinos are there to make money.
And they're watching on the
that's
cameras.
Right. And they're wondering.
Like, this kid's counting cards.
And back in the day, they just fucked you up if you were doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
They probably might still
do.
Yeah,
has that happened in your riverboat? That ever happened? Just drag a guy in the back room and just like...
No, you know, like I said...
Come on, Vicky, how many people have you killed? Tell us.
How many...
Actually, I have never killed...
Actually!
No, it's interesting you say that because people get... you know, it's interesting because, like, we're sitting at your big square table, and this is kind of like how it is as a dealer table. It's how far away we are from each other, right?
Right. It's true.
There have been people. I was at a $50 minimum table one time, and just what I told you, some jerk comes in, and he's like, takes his crumbly $50 bill and puts it down, fucks it up for everybody. I seen a guy pick up his glass beer bottle and hit the guy over the head, break it, blood's running down, punching him out. The guys will fight like that because they believe if you wouldn't have done that, I would have won. So you just lost my money. And they'll say, you just lost my money, Wes. I mean, there's so that's why there's so much security at a casino. It's also for people that are going to try to thief and rob, but it's also for because there's so many emotions when people are losing money.
Yeah.
There was this girl I used to work with, a really beautiful girl, blonde, beautiful. She was one of the nicest people, and there was a guy one time, she was at the table next to me, and a guy spit right in her face. He's like, "You fucking cunt," and he stood up and spit in her face. What does that have to do with her?
That sounds perfect. I would say
spitting
that's right.
Spitting is the worst.
That sounds perfectly reasonable. If you're losing a grand, I can definitely see someone doing that. I would say I would say do it, but that makes sense.
You said hit the over the head with the bottle, and I was like, yeah, blood, yeah. And then you were like, spit in the face, and I was like, no, absolutely not. That is where I draw the line.
And
some
people
so
die.
Gross.
There was a guy that had a heart attack on a roulette table one time. And a
couple died. A roulette table. Yeah. That's like the goofiest game you can play. It's like literally a high stakes guess the number. I have this strategy of like, no, you're guessing the number, dude. You're guessing
that's
the fucking number.
That's my kind of game. Yeah. All vibes
it's
and
the
feeling.
Same thing as the other one that all the Asians play.
Yeah.
There's no difference. Like, but who gets played the player or the banker? It's like, you're guessing. I did that one time and I was just like, and then they're all doing their strategy. I'm like, whatever. You know,
like, this game's rigged for you to lose.
All the Asians are getting all mad at me. I was in Vegas one time getting drunk, and I was just doing it, and I was just winning. I don't even know how to play this game. But like you said, it's a high-stakes game of let's guess. It's the easiest game for a player to play. It is actually the hardest game for a dealer to deal.
Roulette.
To win?
Feel like people lose at roulette. They don't. They win.
It's the easiest game for you to play. Like you said, you just go, I picked number 24, and you put your money down. That's all your fucking strategy right there.
But I'm always wrong, right?
You have a chance to hit it, but it's all it is. It's chance. A ball's rolling around in a wheel. It might hit it. It might not. You got lucky. Good for you. You did it. You lose.
Yeah. I'm not lucky.
You know, but it's so hard for a dealer. I dealt roulette all the time. It's a very hard game to deal because of all the different payoffs. You have tons of different payoffs on that game. You have to memorize all the payoffs.
It's weird to see, like, 32. Like, somebody puts 150 bucks, you have to do 32 times, like, 175.
Well, you're going to do that, but not only. Those people who play roulette, they're playing the splits, which is a split between two numbers. They're playing the corners. They're playing what's called the street, which is three numbers in a row. Black, red, whatever. They're playing all these things, and you have to add up all their money and keep track of it and pay them off.
Fuck that.
It's just nothing but math. It's
when we split lunch together, I have a hard time figuring out the bill. I don't need to be.
That's why I don't split any lunch anymore. I'm just like, let me just take my own check, okay? And then here it is.
It's amazing the math that you guys do. All in your head. It's insane.
Yeah, it's just a lot of
counting numbers. Yeah.
It's like, if you remember the old cartoons when the steam smoke used to come out of the guy's ears, that's how you feel when you're like, and they blow the whistle from the train, woo-woo, and the smoke comes out. That's how it feels.
I feel like if I ever have I had a game night last night that was like board games, but I feel like if I ever have a card game night, I mean, I gotta have Vicky here. Do you know what I mean? Like,
No. But I do love card. You know what I love? I love Phase 10. If you guys played it,
no.
I love Phase 10. It's kind of like playing Gin, and then at the same time, and like not Old Maid, but I mean, it's like you have to get like sets. It's if you like poker, if you're not that good at poker, it's such a great game because it'll tell you exactly what you need to get, and you have to have like three of a kind plus a run of 1, 2, 3, 4.
I know poker, like I know the hands and stuff. I know how to, you know, I don't know any like insider stuff, but my trick in Texas was always, that's where I'm from, and that's where I played. Usually with good old boys. Usually they were like, "Oh, a girl wants to be at the table. Come on, little lady, sit on down."
Chewing
and
tobacco.
So I did a lot of like, okay, scratching wait a minute balls. Now. Yeah. What beats three of a kind? Like playing dumb type of shit
really?
Or whatever. Yeah, and so then they just don't even consider you a factor
because they think you have three of a kind.
And then I'm fucking, you know,
and
you're
even nothing. You're bluffing.
No, and then I like have a winning hand. I was just like, you know, that's how I would win, is make them think I know nothing.
But they never caught on to it.
Well, it'd be different. You know, it was a rant. It wasn't like I had a regular game I went to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd just be like, hey, honey, you know, like whoever I was
but
dating at the time.
If you wanted to meet a guy, like I'd say yes. If you had an opportunity to stand behind someone playing $5 a hand or someone playing $50 a hand, I would stand around the people playing $50 a hand because they obviously have more to lose.
Yeah.
You know?
I got no game. I could stand
get a
anywhere
fake boob
I want.
Job.
Nothing's
trust
gonna
me.
Happen.
Get a
fake boob job. No, it's something with me that, like, because there was a day and a time when I probably should have used this body to get me somewhere like that. You know, like when the body was in the kind of shape to be doing stuff like that. It's just not my jam, unfortunately. I mean, like,
that would be a good routine.
I could be more like
that. Damn you for your morals.
I know.
Damn you.
I don't even know that it's morals. I don't know what it is.
I was telling my girlfriend the other day, I'm like, I should just put an ad on Craigslist and start giving blowjobs. I'd make a lot more money than, you know, but like, I would be like the masked blowjob giver, like put like one of those Zimmer, like a Lone Ranger mask on or something.
I'm sure that's a premium. That's a fetish of some sort, I'm sure.
So I was like, I'm pretty sure you'll get work. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. There's a blowjob involved.
People answer for the mask. People play. Yeah.
I'll get my SAG card all right.
Hey, you were a host of a show that interests me. I don't know if it's still going on or if I can find it or watch it or listen to it. I'd love to. Lesbian Knows Best, a talk show where you gave advice to straight people.
Oh, yeah. That's still on YouTube. I started that as a joke. You know how, like, you just did your web series? Well, back in the day, like, they didn't have web series or anything. Like, and I was just, like, I used to take improv classes with a friend of mine. And we would carpool, and I'd pick her up, and she'd always tell me all her damn man problems constantly. And I'd be listening, like, that guy is not into you. You know, like, I mean, I'm like...
You know, it's always the answer. He's not into you.
Yeah, that's always the answer.
He just doesn't like you.
Did you have a question? Yes, the answer is he's just not that
exactly.
into you.
Exactly.
It's always the answer.
Well, I mean, it was so... And I've had guys, like, I used to work, too, and I had guys that would tell me about their wives and their girlfriends, and they'd tell me all their problems. They want to know my point of view because I'm a lady still, but I'm a lesbian, so I like ladies. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I'm just like, I kind of have an inside...
Great inside information.
Yeah, inside information.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Like, I was a wingman so many times to so many of my straight guys.
Cyrus is getting out his notebook right now.
Can I hire you? Yes, so can I hire you? Put the credits yes. ad for lesbian wing woman.
That's yes! Right. That's what I'll do. I'll do
keep
that.
Keep your clothes on, get money. That's the way
yes,
to do it right there.
Exactly. And you'd be a good candidate, too, because you already have
I
long
know,
hair.
6 months from now, I'll have you both back on the show, and you can talk about your wingman episodes.
Yeah.
How Cyrus is now married, thanks to...
Yeah, well...
Yeah, and
the point of wingman is to not get married.
You don't push it, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the Lesbian Knows Best started off as a joke because I'll tell you why, and the obvious answer was she was even telling me about this guy. She offered to give him a blowjob, and he turned her down. And I was like, I'm going to tell you right
That's
now. I was like, if any man turns you down when it's 2:30 in the morning, it's just you and him, and nobody else knows that you're there, and they're not going to know, he is not into you. Because a man's not going to turn down a blowjob from anybody at 2:30 in the morning. It's just like last guy.
Or he's in the closet.
Would you fuck
something.
A fat chick? And the guy's like, yeah, if nobody knew about it. Every man I've ever asked would fuck a fat chick if no one knew. They would do it, though.
And a blowjob. You know? I mean, that's
right.
like a blowjob.
Like,
anybody.
Here's my dick, you know. So basically, yeah, that's how I started. I should start a series giving advice. Because what happened, the title came about because a couple weeks later she was so mad at me. She's like, you could be wrong, you know. Men aren't just into blowjobs. He could just want to, maybe he doesn't want to take it so fast. I said, no.
That's the best one.
I said, no, it's two. I said, it was 2:30 in the morning. You guys were smoking weed together and he turned down a blowjob. I think it's more than that. So a couple
maybe
weeks later.
Maybe he doesn't want to take it so fast.
Yeah. They were like in their early 30s, you know.
It doesn't, like, I don't care if he's 50. I've never heard a dude that's like, listen, I don't want to take things so fast.
I really like you.
Like, she offered him, she said, I said, well, what did you do? Like, hi, can I give you a blowjob? I'm like, did you just ask her how to go? And then she was like, well, yeah, can I ask him if he wanted a blowjob? And I'm like, well, if you ask a guy who wants it, I think I'd be like, zip, here it is. You know, if I was a man, I'd just whip right out.
Well, I don't even know really that asking is how it's ever really happened for me. I mean, if hypothetically
you mean they
I
just,
ever
like,
did
took
that.
Your face and shoved it.
You can just, like, just.
No, I mean.
You just
look,
grabbed your hair and shoved your face
no,
in your
face. We just got to an area where it was clear that good things were going to happen for him. Yeah. And nobody said, you know. But I didn't go, excuse me, sir. Sir, may I suck your dick, please? You know, I don't know.
I'll take your cock in my mouth.
You know? We just things just sort of fell into that
you
way.
You mind stiffening up your penis?
Could you harden that? I'd like to.
Would you mind stroking it a bit, please?
Can I get a blowjob breaks?
Would you mind coming down to fur so I can reach it in my mouth? So I just told her, I was like, yeah. She goes, how did you know? I go, because lesbian knows best. And that was my answer.
And what was, like, on that show, what was, like, the most, like, you know, I'm assuming there had to be some overlap in the things that were asked. What was, like,
no, there
common?
Wasn't, because I actually put out an ad on LA Casting, because I go, I'm going to try this out. I go, this is the funniest thing ever. I'm going to start a web episode, right? So I put an ad on LA Casting. Do you have any problems in your relationship? Do you need advice? Blah, blah, blah. You know how you had a questionnaire when you came on my show?
Yes.
So we put out a questionnaire asking, and I'm like, what can we ask this person, right? And people would be like, you know, they couldn't get up if there were guys or women who were 40-year-old virgins, or one lady, her pussy was so tight she couldn't get a dick in there. You know, like, wow. Literally telling me this shit.
So I'm, wow. So I just kind of looks like, wow, I could maybe help her with this.
It's had over a million downloads. So people have watched it, and I actually had to have some guys ask me to take their episode down. I'm like, you gotta buy me out. It cost me a lot of money to do this. I had to hire a crew. I had to hire
oh,
people.
Oh, was their episode like, my dick won't get hard? Some
of their episodes were like, whatever. So I'm like, okay, you gotta buy me out to get your episode off. You know, I put all this time and effort. I mean, we didn't just sit down. I had to hire a production crew, everything. So.
Well, I mean, it's on them. Listen, I'm not, you know.
You sign a consent release.
That's
like
what I'm saying. I'm not gonna answer shit like, I can't get my gift card.
You wrote it down on a questionnaire.
Yeah, no,
and
no, that's
then
what
you
I'm
wrote
saying.
Down, I can't get it up. And I'm like, well, this is what I'm talking to you about then. I'm not going to talk to you about you and Granny have problems. Yeah. I'm going to know, really, you can't get your dick up? Let's talk about that.
By the way, also, if you can't get your dick up, don't write a radio show.
That's what I'm
go
saying.
Go to the doctor.
If it's well, get some duct
and
tape.
And if it's something you want to keep secret... Probably don't want to discuss it on the radio if it's something that's, you know, upsetting.
It was fun.
I have a medical problem. Let me consult someone who's an actor.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it was a total bonus.
And doesn't even have a dick.
Yeah. Well, look at Dr. Ruth. I mean, she gave good sex advice.
She did.
That was just a fun show that I just did it out of, you know, like to have a good time. I'm like, oh my God. And then it just kind of blew up, you know, snowballed, and I did like 50 episodes of it.
We should also just quickly mention that you also have a show currently that I was on. I had a lot of fun on called Brash Babble with Vicki Wagner.
Thank you.
That's on Time Warner, Channel 36.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a fun show. You have a comic. Is that weekly?
Weekly.
Weekly show.
So weekly show every week. I have two comics every single week. Usually like you have a guy and a girl. And
in my case, the girl was the funnier one. Anyway, sorry. I'm just teasing.
Ooh, I don't know.
I'm just teasing.
Who was the other guest?
Were the two girls?
I'm just teasing.
Oh, though it's happened before, and I've had to actually apologize to people. I've had to come out and say, I'm really sorry, because I don't know how people are going to be when they get on, and they could suck.
And sometimes somebody can be really great at stand-up and not... be able to
have a conversation.
Yeah, carry that into a different format.
No,
there's a lot of people who are great comics you can't talk to off stage. Oh, you know, I just gotta go and just walk away.
Right. Or there's some comedians, especially here in Los Angeles, who are just starting up and they've got like maybe 15 minutes of material.
Right.
And that's it. And they've got it memorized and it's great material, but that's all they've got.
Right.
And,
they're not good at, some people can even have a lot of material, but they're not good at off the cuff, in the moment
improv
stuff. Yeah.
Basically. So that's why I started thinking about, instead of doing stand-ups, because I'm like, you know what? Because I've had a lot of incidences where I've had some stand-ups where it was me. Like, I can carry the show by myself. I can't.
Sure,
I already know
but it's
that.
A lot harder to do that.
Right. If I have at least one person that's good on the show, I can be like, okay, let's riff. Like, you know, like, you guys are both conversational, right? But if you have somebody, like you said, that's just kind of like, they don't want to answer your questions. Yes, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or they want to completely snowball the other guest where they are... talking over the guest as soon as the guest starts talking like this. Like if you start talking, then they raise their voice to talk, and I'm like, you know, that's sometimes I'll just look at them like, you know, you don't share, they don't know how to share. But yeah, I started that show a year and a half ago, and I've had over 150 comics on it, and I started thinking maybe I should start asking improv comedians to be on the show instead of stand-up comedians. Because improv, stand-up,
or maybe a mix, maybe like one improv dude, one stand-up dude.
Maybe. Because it's just like, okay, I think I've already gone through so many great comedians that, I mean, I've met. I mean, there's so many comedians here.
Well, Cyrus hasn't been on the show.
I know. Well, maybe you could be on the show, Cyrus. Maybe. I have openings. So basically, yeah, that's why I started that show when I got back into comedy, because I took my 7-year break. And I'm like, oh, you know what? The lady who, because I live in West Hollywood, and West Hollywood is the last in Los Angeles County that they will have. We're not part of the city of Los Angeles.
Right.
We're our own city. So we have public access. Well, the city of Los Angeles blew their public access because they took $20 million from Time Warner and put it into their general fund instead of putting it into their...
Oh, wow.
They're supposed to be able to say, hey, Cyrus, I mean, if you want your own show, and if, Leanne, you want your own show, you guys are supposed to be able to go out. Any studio in Los Angeles, they used to have like 15 studios for public access. And they closed them all down and said, no, because you guys totally... They sued the city of Los Angeles. And then so
it's never coming back?
It's never coming back.
That's awful.
And so West Hollywood is its own city, so that's why we have public access.
Yeah.
So that's different than PBS, though. That's like the national...
Yeah, PBS is public broadcasting.
That's like the national.
So you have to actually submit a package and blah, blah. It's usually like, let's go look at these trees.
But you have a lot of viewers on your show, right?
I got a lot of viewers on my show, and we won an award last year from the city of West Hollywood. You know, the Time Warner, where there's possible 46,000 people who are watching it. Possible.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? But so the city gave us, our show, an award for being the favorite local live series.
Nice.
Because the show is usually funny, you know, and so we got an award. I got a really nice award and, you know, honored and everything like that. So they're just.
I can't remember. Were we allowed to curse, or we were not allowed?
You can
to curse
because it's public access. If you want.
No way! You can curse on public access.
Yeah.
If Cyrus you is like, I'm in.
That's what's fucking up, man. Public access for the win.
If you want to get naked, and they said they even said they've had people who have just literally taken their clothes off and stood there naked because that's an expression of freedom of speech.
Nice.
And so if people wanted to get naked on public access, they could, and you can't say no to that because they're guaranteed right. that protection under the First.
No, but if some of us did it, the viewers would say no to that.
I might say no. Yeah. If somebody stood up and started taking their clothes off, I'm like, you might want to put that back on. You know, because here's the funny thing, especially about me being gay, too. It's like, you know, it's like, hear this funny thing, and gay guys hear this, I mean, straight guys. I don't know, I wouldn't want to take a shower with them. Maybe he's looking at me. And I'm like, have you seen most of the gay men in West Hollywood? They're so gorgeous. A yeah. straight guy couldn't hold yeah. a candle to him.
I have a bit about that, yeah. And, it's like,
it's like, oh, they're looking at you. You missed your big fat ass with all your flub hanging over. Okay, you have it. You know, give me a break. And they're used to these toned, muscly guys. And the same thing with lesbians. I'm like, you really think that just because you're a lady, I want to look at you naked? I'm like, you need to put your clothes back on.
My default is just assuming that no one wants to look at me naked. When I've hung out with lesbians,
I don't even want to look at myself naked, let alone look at other women naked.
I just, girls just like your inner beauty. So I don't really have that problem.
Or if you have a big dick, you know? Yeah, if you got a big dick,
Like he just motioned to Cyrus.
I just black out everything and just leave my dick.
Yeah. So I've known some guys who have had big dicks and they knew it. And they were like, they were just like, they'd sit back. I had a friend of mine, he's another comedian, and we used to perform together all the time. And he would just spread his legs as wide. I'm like, if you spread your legs any wider, you'd be sitting up splits right now, right? Because I'm like, really, your balls need that much room? You know what I mean? He's like, well, you know, it's so big and everything. And he wasn't that good looking of a guy. But he
so that's
knew
all he had to go
his
on.
His dick was like as big as your microphone, and I know that because I saw it.
Well, yeah, I would have to turn that down. I'm sorry.
Because he said, you know, I get some dick pics sometimes from guys asking, are you sure you want to be a lesbian?
Oh, my God. They want to say, send me a dick pic. I was like, yo, no, your dick. Like you have, like,
I might be this.
Totally, you know what? Side of lives.
All like, these years, I've liked pussy, but now that I see this dick on my phone.
This out of focus
And like, just the dick. I like dick, and I don't want a picture like just the dick.
But I got a thing for men. If you're going to just take a picture of your dick, you need to reference it with somebody, like something. So, like,
well, that's
like,
the trick.
You need to put something next to it, like, not just here's my
that's
dick.
That's why they shave that's up real quick.
No, so you have to put something next to it. Like,
you lose perspective.
Yeah, you have to put, like, something that, a household object next to it to show, look how big it is, like a book of matches.
Well, then it wouldn't work.
Then you want, like, a miniature penny.
Is your dick? Well, for the guys who have a really small dick, they put a dime next to it, I guess. I don't know.
You and get a bunch of dollars, they're like scaled down in half.
Yeah. Like Monopoly money size, yeah, and Monopoly. You're like, check out this dollar bill next
never
to
Never once
dick.
In the whole time I've been a lesbian, have I ever seen a lady spread her lips apart and take a picture of it and be like, here you go, Vicky. Yeah,
that's
not once.
That's definitely a male phenomenon.
Not once. Not once have I ever gotten a crotch picture from a woman.
And even with girls, I mean, there's very few girls that, like, see a dick. Like, oh my God, dick. It's more like, they like you, then they see your dick, and then they
right.
like it
both. I need, well, like and I need package. At least some kind of dream with it. So if I do see the dick, show me some abs or something so I can kind of, like,
yeah,
make a story in my head. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we were at boot camp together or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, they like your personality. You brought roses. Then you saw this penis, and this penis is attached to, like, a
funny.
Nice dinner and roses.
Or, like, do something like with together. Your dick, like, put curtains around it, or... You know, like, you put, like, you know, like, I've never seen puppetry of the penis, but I imagine in my mind, what did they do?
It's out there. It's out there.
No, it's coming back. It's coming back.
Oh, it's a real thing?
Yeah, it's at the theater.
Oh, okay. Because the way she said it, I thought she was just making up her own thing, and she was like, I've never seen puppetry of the penis. And I'm like, well, it sounds like something you've thought about if you have a name like
it's
that.
Every brunch on Sunday in West Hollywood, there's puppetry of the penis.
No, it's okay. It's a straight show. It's two straight guys, and it was playing over at this theater. I won't say it in case there's endorsements, but it's on La Cienega. There's a theater there, and it played there for a long time, and it got national attention. Yeah.
And what did they do? Stick
they would
penis?
Make their peanuts into little puppets.
I think there's also a thing like the balls. They would jiggle their balls or something somehow. They could, like,
I didn't see it. I only heard.
I've heard that.
Oh,
you know, but if you're gonna, like, present your penis, put it on a red carpet or something. You know, like, you're gonna show your lady, hey, here's my penis.
Yeah, some like the gorilla bad lighting type thing.
I haven't done it in a long time.
They're gonna be like, look at this penis this guy sent me, because I did. I showed so many people the penises that get sent me. I'm like, look at this. And even just recently, a friend of mine who's another lesbian, she's like, I don't know why this guy thinks. I don't know. These guys send me their dicks all the time. I'm like, really? And then we're looking at the dicks.
They must, like, have a thing about wanting to, like, bring you over.
Yeah,
like, that's look at my dick.
Because, I mean, you know, I am straight. I'm not getting a deluge of dick pics. Not that I'm complaining. I'm just saying it sounds like you're getting more dick pics than me and you don't even like dicks.
No, so I don't get that many, but it's just like I've had men email me saying, well, maybe this will turn you around.
Yeah, it's like...
I'm like, okay, I'm...
Horrific looking appendage. So I gotta turn it around. It's just funny, like, with Paris, like Randy's on Twitter, which is show her dick pics, and it's amazing how many horrific-looking dicks are sent over, and how many flaccid dicks. Guys will send photos of just
dicks.
Yeah,
I don't really care about it.
That was a topic on my show one time, and the guy was saying that. He's like, why would you send that? Like, if it's going to... Why would it be flaccid, right? And the guy's excuse was, and he brought it up on my show, because I want to show when we get in person, I want to see how big it actually can get. And I'm like, there's something to look forward to.
You know what, though? It can be really big flaccid and then not grow that much when it's hard. So...
But unless you
have a frame of reference, you can't tell anybody how big it is. You really
can't.
Well,
here's the other thing. Even if you have a great big one, if you don't know what the fuck you're doing with it, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's really true.
Or if you're like one of the ladies I had on my show, you can't get it in there anyway. So, out of luck. Darn.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy. That's insane.
this right here is insane. There's no way.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that I know that I've seen so many. I probably have seen so many dicks that I know there's so many different types of dicks.
This is funny. I've seen so many dicks.
I know.
Cyrus is like, okay. Can we talk about pussy for a minute?
They just come to me in the night. The dicks just come.
I'll be honest. Let me tell you something super funny. I'll segue out of this one.
Like a dick magnet.
When I kind of am a dick magnet. When I was
maybe she's both of our wingmans.
Yeah,
we both need to go out.
I like to look at a guy's bulge. I always check out a guy's bulge all the time. Like, I do. I kind of wonder, what's that dick look like? You know, because I don't see as many as straight women. Honestly, I don't. Sure. So I'm kind of curious. So when a guy's sitting there, I always usually kind of do a glance. And like, what's that bulge? Does it sit to the left? Does it sit to the right? You know? Like, I'm incognito. I mean, I don't do it. Like
the way they look at our boobs.
I'll just be like, hey, Cyrus, we screwed your legs for me?
Yeah.
Let me see it.
Just so you know, listener, she has now checked out Cyrus's package about 4 times.
Let me see your moose knuckle.
Okay, let's go. Let's ask a few of these little questions to learn a little something personal about you. And then we'll talk about how we can find out what's going on with each of you. So for each of you, we'll start with Cyrus. What would we find in your refrigerator if we looked in it today? Right. What's a Cyrus fridge sitch? And you live with roommates, so you can explain,
roommates.
Like, do you guys each get a shelf? How do you work that thing out?
Well, there's Steve, who he just eats outside. Dude, my roommate is crazy. It's funny. Steve is, like, great, like morbidly obese. Like, he eats less food than me and Blake. Like, me and Blake, we eat, like, a shit ton of food. We eat fairly healthy, but he lives literally on, like, Monster Energy energy drinks and Cheetos. Like, that's all he eats. Like,
but does he ever exercise?
No, he doesn't exercise.
Okay.
Like, he's had a heart attack. He's had a stroke. Steve might die. I might be the only, like, 20-year-old who has a roommate die of, like a non-cocaine-induced heart attack.
Wow. Yeah. Monster drinks and Cheetos.
Yeah, it's crazy. Steve, this is actually a funny story. Like, my other roommate, Blake, he when he has money, he goes to Colombia and just hangs out for a while. Because he just likes Colombian women, and it's fun. It's fun for him down there. So, there's a point in Steve's life where he didn't have a license. So,
like a driver's license?
He didn't have a driver's license. Oh. So, he was like, so when Blake was out of town, he said, yeah, no, Steve, you know, just turn my car on, drive around for a little bit so the battery doesn't die. I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. So, he would drove to work, and all of a sudden, like, Steve went through a phase where he was, like, even worse health shape than he was now. And so he started having these chest pains, like blurry vision. And he's like, you know, I was telling his coworker, he's like, I'm not feeling so good. And, like, you got to go to the hospital now. Like, you got to go. And so he didn't really have that much money. So he was like, I'm going to go to the emergency room. I'm going to go to this urgent care. So he's driving. And he gets pulled over at, like, a ID checkpoint in Gardena at, like, 9 a.m. in the morning. And so he gets pulled over and...
That's when he had his heart attack?
No, that's when he pulls over and he shows him, like a cop his ID, and the cop looks at it, gives it back, and then at the last minute he pulls, like, hey, this isn't a license, this is an ID. He's like, do you have a driver's license? He says, no. He's like, no, I have some chest pains. I'm like, I think I might be having a heart attack. Can you just let me through? And he's like, no, I can't let you, man. Do you want an ambulance? And he said no, which was, I think, he'd be fucked
up.
The
cop did?
Yeah, the cop asked him if he wants an ambulance, and he said no.
Yeah, Steve said no. He should have said yes,
yeah.
For sure.
But anyway, so he got my roommate's car impounded. for 30 days. He got his, like, a $1,000, like,
what does that have to do with what's in the refrigerator?
I was about to say, are we saying that the refrigerator is filled with Cheetos and you just had to explain where that was coming
from? Yeah, what happened?
We just got derailed here. I'm saying Steve puts nothing in the fridge. Okay. It's all just healthy stuff.
What do you eat?
I eat healthy, like, shit.
Like hummus and...
Yeah, I eat a bunch of quinoa, and then, like, I just cook my own food. Like, I'll make, like, a bunch of turkey with vegetables and just... I try to eat healthy. I try to eat pounds, you know.
What's in your fridge, Vicky?
Right now? Well, mm-hmm. We had tacos last night. I love tacos. I made some chicken soup, homemade with big, delicious chicken breasts that were bone-in chicken breasts. Chicken soup, I love. Tacos, I love. I'm right currently on a popcorn addiction where I make microwave popcorn every night for the last 4 nights in a row. But that'll go away, and then I won't eat it for like a month on
sure.
end. Usually, like, I can't drink like Monster Energy drinks or anything like
don't
that because caffeine will make me like blast off. Like, seriously. And I'm a diabetic, so if I drank that, it would kill me.
Yeah,
all this
I think
sugar.
I could tell that you would blast off with caffeine. Do you agree? She's pretty high energy already. I don't know that we need to give her any extra.
I have to drink, because I still like the taste of coffee, so I have to drink decaf coffee.
Oh, yeah. You actually do drink that.
Yeah, and I drink decaf coffee, and then I didn't drink any today, but I mean, I will drink it, and it'll still, but if I drank any caffeinated coffee after 10 o'clock, it doesn't hit me for whatever reason till like 8 o'clock at night, first of all. And then it's like I'm a hypermaniac, and people are like, what's wrong with you?
Oh,
I'm like,
I don't know. I can drink like 2 strong cups of coffee and then go take a nap.
No.
I got like 0.
But see, that's what happens to me. I can drink the coffee, but then it doesn't affect me for hours. Seriously, the caffeine like has a delayed reaction, kicks in later.
Yeah.
So that's it. You know, I mean, we have salads. I love salads, and, you know, we are currently drinking probiotics.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
so we're currently eating a lot of yogurt and drinking probiotics because I've been reading about this stuff and kind of getting scared of I'm full of bacteria.
We all are, man. I just did a 3-day vegetable juice cleanse the other week.
Yeah, and I was like, what? There's some people have 10 pounds of bacteria in their body?
I got a couple things in my pantry I can show you afterwards that you could buy that will help.
Just shit it all out.
Yep. Well, my girlfriend brought me some tablets.
I was trying to be ladylike.
Well,
I was like, it'll help you.
You have to kill the bacteria. It takes like 4 months, it says, if they've been living there for a while.
Okay, well, I was about to go into some in-depth colon talk, and then I realized, nope, we're not going to end the show on that.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that after the show. Okay, each of you, Cyrus, what is like your worst show ever, or like your most memorable heckler, or like the worst gig? Doesn't necessarily have to be a heckler, but what's like...
So many bad gigs, as you know.
which bad gig should I choose?
Actually, I had one of those, like... One of those bombings that like just shook me to the core, and it wasn't even like the room. Like the room didn't matter. I was just like it was before New Year's. I was just fucking around going like a mic, but like it was rain. I like to walk before I go outside. Like just like stretch my legs, and it was like raining like right before New Year's. So I was like in my car in front of like the improv. Yeah, I was eating a sandwich and like out of aluminum foil. It was like raining. I felt like it was some sort of like depressing film noir comedy.
Yeah.
I'm just fucking upset, eating a sandwich, feeling alone and
so
like bitter in the world.
With the pitter patter of the rain on the windows.
And then I called my dad. We got in an argument, so I was in this fucking terrible funk. I got up stage, like my like energy was weird, and I just started like forgetting my jokes and like my energy was off, so like I could hear the words coming in my mouth. They were wrong, and I just fucking ate my balls horrifically. And then, when I got off stage, I was like hyperventilating. I was like so angry. I was like hyperventilating. I was just like, why am I doing comedy? What the fuck am I doing? Like, I got into the car and I was just screaming the whole ride home.
Oh, shit.
I was screaming. If someone would have like said something to me, I would have gotten out of the car and fought them. Like, I was code red. Enraged. I just like fucking went home and I just like...
When comics go postal.
Well, but it's actually, I think, good though that at least you're getting postal like outwardly because I go postal just on myself inwardly. Do you know what I mean? So on the outside, everything's fine. And then I come home and I'm like crying and I'm like, you're not even a fucking comic anymore. What kind of comic? You know what I mean? Like, so at least you're like, it's better, I think. Take it out on the world, you know? Don't take it out on yourself.
And then I have, when I get, after I bomb really bad, I start having these fantasies the next day of like, I'm just driving, I'm just dating daydreaming about, like, I'm at a comedy club, someone steals my joke, and I fight the comedy, the comedy and I beat his ass on the comedy store patio.
That's
like, all
hilarious.
That shit. It's just...
Do you, like, think of it, the incident over and over and over and over again after it happened?
Yeah, you just replay it over in head, yeah. And you start, like, arguing with, like...
I don't replay it in my head, but sometimes I'll, like, say stuff out loud to my girlfriend, and she'll be like, you already told me that. She calls me a repeater. She's like, you're a repeater. I don't want to hear that story again. I'll be like, yeah. And I'm like, but this is a different take on that story. Yeah. You know, like, this is a different
and
angle.
Also...
Right. Yeah, I should have said this, and it's like too late, you know what I mean? It's like too late for that, you know?
What's a memorable worst gig for you, Vicky?
I'm not sure, but probably...
Or uncomfortable.
The most amusing, maybe, gig for me was... One time I was playing this crappy place down here. It's close to Manhattan Beach, actually. You've probably played there, so I'm not going to say the name of it. I'll tell you afterwards. But it's like this show is a bar gig. And uh-huh. I was just like, you know, and I do a lot of bar gigs to prepare for when I'm getting paid to do comedy. Yeah. Because I don't want to get on stage where someone's paying me a big sum of money and then I have some...
And
I want to
feel...
Cashing out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm not going to cash in now, but I want to... Bar gigs are good for dealing with incidents with people. And like, mm-hmm. how am I going to respond to this? And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'll take this bar gig on so I can... respond. Just like, even it was so funny, even the last show I just did, I'll briefly tell it, this one of the comics that came before me, he didn't know I was gay, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect, and he was a black guy, and he smeared gay people. Like, made all these gay jokes, and he's like, all right, gay people, you want to be normal like us now, you get to be
oh,
joked about
shit.
You. These are just jokes. If there's any gay people in the audience here, these are just jokes. And I was like, oh my god, and I had three comics that I've known for years. They turned around, they looked at me, like, it's gold. I go,
I'm going to use this.
I said, oh my god, this is like dropping from the sky, like the Wizard of Oz, you know, fucking golden path, right? And then it's just like, and then I got up there, I'm like, don't, and I ripped black people, I'm like, black people, these are just jokes. You want to be normal like us now, you know, and I totally turned it around on them.
Yeah.
But I was joking around because
and they get it. They heard his things.
Yeah, and I just made fun of it, but probably the most amusing one was at this place down here in Manhattan Beach. The guy in the audience, he was heckling there was three male comics before me, and the male comics were getting so mad that they're like, fuck you, man, blah, 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 and I'm like, oh, man, this isn't going well, right? And like
the comics are yelling, fuck you, man.
Yeah, and I was just like, and some of the comics are like, come on up here then, and I'm like, uh-oh, you know, they weren't even doing their,
right.
Their, and I'm like, okay.
Fuck his set, they're just talking
they
shit.
They didn't do their set anymore. They're just like, you want a piece of me? And I was just like, you know, what, you think this is easy being a comic? You know, like one of that. I come up here trying to be funny to me, you know? Why don't you try to be funny, you asshole? And I was like, okay, and then they call them off the stage, and then it's me. I'm like, I'm not doing any jokes, right? I'm just like going to totally focus on the one heckler and, you know, anyway, started talking to him. I'm like, well, since you want to be part of the act, let's start talking. So he starts yelling that he's the, he wrote like a... The NAPAC. I said, the NAPAC? I go, what's that? And he's like, I'm the North American Pussy Eating Champion. And I said, what?
Oh,
and, you know, and of course, me kind of lesbian again. I'm like, all right. You know, and I'm like, how do you get that title? You know what I mean? And then
you're like, I should be in this contest.
No. I took the rest of the audience, and then I finally, like, grilled them a little bit on it. And then I said, I'm a lesbian. I go, I get tired of eating one pussy, let alone fucking 50. You know what I mean? And then everybody's like, ah. And then a cloud starts laughing till I got all the laughter onto him, and he just shrunk down and didn't
say
anything.
That's right, yep.
So I'm just, he's going on and on, and I'm just like, you know, well, I'm going to come and feel your skin, how soft it must feel after all of that nice moisturizing cream on your face, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what is it, like a pie-eating contest? Like the ladies are just lined up with their legs spread open, and how did you know they came? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, ding, done, ding, done, ding, done. And then that was it. So that was the most amusing. But afterwards, the guy that came up after me, he again engaged the guy, and the guy came up, and a big fist fight happened.
Yes.
And the heckler and him got in a fist fight, and he goes, I brought my bodyguard, and the comic had actually brought his bodyguard. I've never seen that before.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys
have bodyguards as a
the
comic.
The comic brought his bodyguard, and that's what I thought. I never saw that before. And he goes, my bodyguard's going to kick your ass. So then the guy and his friend got into a fight with the comic and his bodyguard. And then, out of nowhere, Gumby walks into the bar. That's what was probably the most amusing comedy experience ever had.
I've not seen a fight yet.
Full-size Gumby in his Gumby costume with a Santa hat on.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we tell people where to find you guys, just because we were on the topic of fighting on stage, you guys did hear about that comic up north.
Who?
Like, I don't know his name, but there was another, we'll use the term comic, like, loosely. You know, like, there's some people that, like, go to open mics. They're not really comics.
Yeah.
They go up there and... You know, shit
well,
themselves.
He beat a guy out, but right?
That guy, yeah, kept
he
coming
almost
to this
killed,
open mic, and they told
yes.
him not to come,
and he
came back anyway with a baseball bat and fucking bashed that comic's
and
head.
And he was
on
a
stage.
Dad. The guy, the
yeah,
comic,
that guy's like seriously, yeah, like permanently fucked, right? Right? Yeah. I mean, I think there's brain damage or something. That's really fucked up.
Do you know
up.
What he's talking about? No. The comic who was running the open mic was a father of two little girls.
Yes.
And the guy came in and bashed his brain.
And like this guy, when he had come, it wasn't just that he sucked. He was like upsetting people with the things he was saying. He, you know.
Yeah, like those like borderline homeless guys. They just
and they were just, you know.
He was talking about Jesus stuff.
Oh, what? Well,
oh, like, is that what you're talking about?
No,
I'll be honest. Like, I'll be honest. I'm surprised there's not more open mic violence. If you think about like, if you think that the stereotype of like people who do random acts of violence, it's white guys who are sexually frustrated, which is pretty much every open mic comic.
Yes. Like, thank you for knowing that. Yeah, because they like to think, you know, they're getting, you know, they're all fucking stools talking about all the bitches they get. So.
Yeah, it's like, it's like every open mic is like you're like 80% white. You're definitely not getting laid. So it's like these. I'm surprised there's not more people shooting up mics. Just
seriously,
bombing and coming up.
I know.
And beating each other to death.
Yeah,
it's bad.
And what?
And beating each other.
Oh,
to
I
death.
Thought you said eating each other to death. I'm
no,
like, we're
beating.
All for the guy eating pussy. Vicky.
No, beating him. You're right,
yeah,
though. I'm surprised there's not more. But the thing is really quick. Like I did a show, and after the show, there was an open mic, and one of the comics wanted me to stay and watch him. And a friend of mine was there, and she goes, why is everybody laughing at him? He's not, you know, not this guy, but the comedians. I said, they're like, they're not funny. Why is everybody laughing? I go, because they're all friends of each other.
Yeah.
And they're laughing at inside jokes. I said, and none of them are learning a fucking thing because
exactly.
They're just, they might as well be at home with their buddies playing Nintendo, whacking their, doing a circle jerk because that's what's happening.
That's probably what happened after, actually.
The Nintendo circle jerk. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. How it goes. It's open mic, Nintendo circle jerk.
Okay, let's tell my fabulous listeners where we can find my fabulous guests. First of all, what gigs do you have coming up, Cyrus?
I have my first out-of-town headlining gig.
All right, nice.
Coming up.
Where at?
It's in Humboldt County. It's in Jambalaya in Arcata, California. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Nice.
It's actually Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday.
It's the 27th.
It's 27th. So that's what it is. So I'm pretty pumped about that. And every last Saturday of the month in downtown LA at Connors Comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, come check out that show. That's super fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll have me back just any day.
Yeah.
I saw Aiden Friday night, actually, at a show.
Okay.
He's so fun.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love Aiden.
He's very high energy. Aiden Park, do you know him?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. He's funny. Your YouTube is Cyrus Naderpour.
Yes.
Naderpour is Naderpour.
Yeah.
Okay. Facebook is Cyrus Naderpour. Twitter is at Cyrus the Clown.
That's it.
That's cute. I didn't come up with anything cute. I was just like, eh, Leanne. Vicky, where can we find you? Where can we see you performing?
Well, this Tuesday—that's why I know Tuesday was the 27th because I'll be headlining at Flappers.
Oh, nice!
Oh, fun!
Yeah, in Burbank, and at the 9:30 show. So I tell everybody get there at 9:15. You know, and see my name on the marquee.
Oh,
and
fun.
So then I will also be, of course, have my show, my Brash Babble with Vicky Wagner. If you live in West Hollywood, please tune in to Channel 36, Time Warner Cable at 8:30 p.m.
That's every Wednesday, right?
Every Wednesday night. And then I'm actually also booked, he booked me on that clown. He wants me to be on the Clown House show and another show that's just coming up, and I'm really bad at, I should have wrote it down, but I didn't know.
Oh, good.
I'm like, I was only going to pump next week's show since I figured it was live tonight.
Sure, yeah, awesome.
But Aiden, you guys are talking about Aiden and I, we might get booked to go out of town together in Portland soon.
Oh, fun.
So, because they want a male comic with me. You know, so he would be the feature and I'd be the headliner. So
fun.
Yeah, and he's a funny guy. I just did a show down at Aces Comedy Club in San Diego where I was the headliner and he was down there and we had a good time.
He's very positive, too.
He's a very upbeat guy.
Yeah. And for those of us that are very not positive, that's a really good thing for me to be around. You know what I mean? Like, it's very helpful. And then Vicky, also, you've got a website. It's Vicky-Wagner.com. Vicky is V-I-C-K-I.
Yeah, and it might be switching soon to TheVickyWagner.com.
The motherfucking VickyWagner.com.
Right.
Her Facebook is Vicky Wagner. Or is it Vicky Wagner Entertainer?
It's maybe. The Vicky Wagner.
The Vicky Wagner.
The motherfucking Vicky Wagner.
That's right.
And your Twitter is at Vicky Wagner.
Yeah.
So you guys follow them and all that jazz. Come see their comedy. You guys know where you can find me at Leanne Tooker, LeanneTooker.com. We at Dig Into It Radio appreciate you tuning in. We want to hear from you. I want to hear your ideas for the 50th episode because Mama's out of ideas. So help me out. Tell me what you want to hear on the show and we'll get it together for you. So follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, subscribe for free on iTunes. And we'll be coming back next month for the 50th episode.
Leanne Tooker is not crazy. Leanne Tooker is not crazy.
Fun theme song?
Yeah.
I got an idea. idea for your show. You should have all the guys, you should like do like a video blog. It's called a blogcast, right? Is that what it's called? When they do a video cast of a podcast. Uh-huh. And then just have all the guys like showing their penis pics.
Yes. Penis tech medley.
As long as we're on the guys, because one thing I like about doing just audio is it's like I can wear elastic waistband pants and no one's judging me. You know what I mean?
You've been
like,
listening to Leanne Tooker Is Not Crazy, a Dig Into It Radio production.
To find out more about Dig Into It Radio, visit our website at digintoitradio.com. That's D-I-G, the letter N, the number 2, I-T, radio.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. This is the only time you get to not wear pants and not be embarrassed.